Well, today, we're going to continue in our series, Living a Life of Worship. Living a Life of Worship. Is anybody getting the revelation what it means to live a life of worship? Anybody that's, say, Pastor, over the last 6 or 7 weeks, I'm learning what it means to live a life of worship. Anybody here understanding what that means? How many know that worship is not what goes on just on Sunday mornings? We're learning that worship is not just what happens on Sunday morning, but worship is something that, it's a lifestyle, and it's so multifaceted. It has so many different angles and avenues, and it's a lifestyle, and it's not only just about the music and about worship in the heart, but it's also a lifestyle. It's an attitude. It's a work habit. I mean, it penetrates everything that we do. Our life should be a life of worship, bringing honor and glory to God. And today we're going to continue in this series, Living a Life of Worship. And I wanted to talk to you today on this thought, how to worship when you're hurt. Now, I know today that nobody's ever been hurt in your life. This message probably doesn't relate to very many of you because we've never gone through hurts in our life, have we? I know that I'm the only one that's ever gone through a hurt in my life, and I'm probably just preaching to myself today. But for those of you who maybe you can say yes, all of us, right? If you're alive, if you're breathing today, you've gone through hurts in your life. And I will tell you this, that learning to worship when you're hurt is probably one of the biggest tests of your worship. Not only is it the biggest test, but it could be the most amazing growth time in your worship time with God. And today we're going to look at a guy by the name of Job. How many know that Job was an awesome guy? Job was an awesome guy. The Word of God talks about Job. Job was one of the Bill Gates of his era, you know. He was a man who was blessed with the multitude of riches in family and friends and in possessions and in money. I mean, Job had it going on, okay? Job had the Donald Trump lifestyle for his day. I mean, he had the Escalade camel. I mean, he had it all going, okay? He was there, and he was living this top lifestyle, you know, and we see in Scripture where Satan approaches God and says, hey, I bet, you know, I know your favorite Job here, God, and I know Job's one of your kids, and he's still faithful to you, but I bet I can get Job to turn his back on you if you just take away everything he has. No wonder he serves you, because you've given him so much, you've blessed him with so much, and we see this interesting conversation between God and Satan. Now, we talked about last week how Satan was kicked out of heaven. And so some of you asked, well, if Satan's kicked out of heaven, how can he talk to God? Because we see where even though he was kicked out of a literal heaven, he still, at this point, is released on the earth and still is able to have open communication with God when God chooses to allow him to speak. And so we see this is one of those opportunities where God allows Satan to speak to him, and God does what he does so well. He's like, Satan, just shut up, you know. I'm tired of hearing your mouth. I'm going to prove to you right here once for all, my people do not serve me because just what I give them. But he began to test them. And so we see where all within one day where people began to come to him, and all of his children were killed. All his possessions were wiped away. Everything that Job had earned, everything that he had lived for, everything that he had obtained throughout his whole life was wiped away within a matter of 24 hours. Just gone. And I can kind of imagine maybe what it was like, you know, for those who maybe went through a major tornado or weather disaster or a tsunami or a flooding down New Orleans, those who were not prepared, all of a sudden, boom, they just came and wiped away everything they owned, and their families were killed. And what such a horrible thing that happens. And we see on the news where families sometimes are just so tragically taken away from one another. And this is what happened to Job. He lost all of them all in one day, all his possessions, everything in one day. And Job was such a great example of how to learn. He went from a hero to zero in one day. He went from top to bottom all within 24 hours. And we see what's happening here, and we see that he begins to suffer. Not only does he go through losing it all, but then he begins to have affliction in his body, gets sick. He begins to pick at his sores on his arms. We see all these things that he goes through, the affliction that he begins to have in his life. And we see all through this, Job still yet maintained an attitude of worship. We see where Job went through different stages of hurt and went through different ways of dealing with his pain, but we never see where Job lost his attitude of worship. We never see where Job cursed God. We never see where Job stopped trusting in God. And let's just look at Job's life here. And I believe we can look at this as an example. And Job 36 is not written on the overhead. Why don't you listen to it? Job 36 says, "The hard times and trouble are God's way of getting our attention. At that very moment, God deeply desires to lead you from a trouble and to spread your life on the table with your favorite food." What's he saying? He's saying God desires to take you from your time of hurt and wounds to a time of fellowship with him, to a time of worship with him, that it can be a good thing when we go through bad times in our life. It can be a good thing if we allow God to work it out when we go through hurts in our life and we allow God to use it. So today we're going to learn what it means to worship God through our hurt. And the first thing we see Job doing here, number one, is we learn to tell God exactly how you feel. Tell God exactly how you feel. When you go through a crisis, when you go through a hurt in your life, somebody said something bad about you. Somebody did something bad to you. Somebody's done something deeply to penetrate your life and to hurt you and to leave wounds there. We begin to feel all these different feelings. And we can actually learn to worship God through these feelings. And the first part of worshiping God through these feelings is we see what Job did here in chapter 1, verse 20. And it says here, Job stood up and he tore his robes in grief. This is a Middle Eastern thing they did when they were going through grief during this Bible times. They would tear their clothes open as a sign of frustration, and they would shave their head as a sign of just stripping it all away and saying, "God, you've taken it all from me." And out of frustration, out of anger, out of deep grief, out of deep sorrow, he says he shaved his head and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. So he's grieving. He's angry. I mean, he rips his clothes, he shaves his head out of frustration and in his grief, but it says he also fell to the ground and he worshiped. When we're hurt, we're always going to feel emotions. Emotions happen. When we're hurt, we go through four stages. We feel anger, we feel grief, we feel shock, we feel fear. I mean, all these things begin to come up, and all these emotions. When you get hurt, you're gonna face these four things. Counselors would tell you this. This is who we are as human beings. We're fearful. What's going to happen next? We're in shock that it happened to me. We are hurt that it happened. We feel anger at the person who did it. We're angry that it happened, and we feel the grief over the loss of the thing we're facing, the friendship, the relationship, the loss of the child, loss of the possession. The things that happen, they cause us to feel grief, and we go through all these different emotions as human beings. And God made us this way. Matter of fact, we see in Scripture where we're made in the image of God, and so he understands what you're going through. It says that God loves. It says that God was angry. It says that he's a jealous God. We see where God was facing emotions himself. Through Scripture, we even see it listed. God is a God of emotions, and we are made in his image, and we face emotions. We're emotional people. And what do you do when you have these emotions all going through your body when you're hurt, all going through your mind, your soul, your spirit, all these emotions bottled up? What do? Let me tell you, as your pastor, the best thing to do is just to push them down and not deal with them, right? No. That's like taking a Coke bottle and shaking it up. You know, it's just not good, because sooner or later it's just going to explode. It's going to explode. And so you got to learn to deal with those emotions. You got to learn to deal with those true feelings in your life. And so how do we deal with those things? Do I deal with them and go to my wife and saying, "I can't believe you"? Go to my husband, "Oh, you're the reason why," and just going off on them. My children, "Oh, if I hadn't had you, I would never be in this mess." "Pastor, you said express our emotions." No, I'm talking about expressing them in a healthy way. And what does it mean to express them in a healthy way? That means we go to God. I go to God and say, "God, I don't understand. God, I am feeling very angry. God, do you know what you're doing?" You mean you can ask God? Yeah, it's okay to say, "God, I don't understand what you're doing. God, are you sure you know what you're doing? God, why did this happen? God, why did you allow this to happen? God, why am I going through this? God, I am angry at my spouse. God, I am angry at my parent. God, I'm angry at the person who hurt me. God, I'm disappointed in this child. God, I am upset at my coworker. God, I'm mad at my boss." It's all right to express those things, because God wants you to express them to him. Because when I'm expressing to him, it becomes an act of worship. Do you know that? "Well, Pastor, I don't understand how complaining is an act of worship." No, I'm not complaining, but what I'm doing is I'm being honest to God. And see, when I come to God in honesty, it's an act of worship. because it's saying, God, even though I'm mad, even though I don't understand, even though I'm upset, I still trust in you. But God, I'm angry. God, I don't understand. Those are healthy ways of dealing with our emotions, and it become a way that Job did, and it's a way of worshiping the Lord in honesty, even when you're hurt. And I tell God exactly how I feel. I don't hold it back. I don't act like it's all good, and we come and I just grin and bear it. God just wants me to grin and bear it. God just wants me to have a good attitude. Yeah, he wants you to have a good attitude, but he wants you to express your real, true feelings to him. He doesn't want you to come, because if we come and we don't express our true feelings to him, then we get in a habit of always putting this facade up. Oh, God, everything's great. You are great, and I'm great. Because I can't tell you, God, that I'm upset, because you might be disappointed in me. You may not love me. His love is not conditional on how I feel. Matter of fact, his love is even greater when I'm honest. When my own children come to me. Now, believe it or not, I know some of you have never faced this before, but when sometimes my kids don't always understand every decision that I make. I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe. They don't always understand every decision I make. But one thing they do understand, they understand that, you know what? Yeah, Dad, he's been here a little bit longer than I have. Dad is older than me. And yeah, he still loves me unconditionally. And I welcome when they come to me. I have a teenager now, and me and Melissa, we're learning. I welcome when she comes to me and says, Dad, hey, why are you doing this? And when she comes with that kind of attitude, I like that, because we grow closer together in our relationship as parent and as the father-daughter. We grow closer when she comes to me and says, Dad, why'd you do this? I don't understand that. And we talk about it. This is why we do what we do. This is why I made the decision. We grow closer. I don't get mad and say, why are you questioning me? I say, no, let's talk about it. When we come to that kind of thing, it's just, Dad, I don't understand. This isn't fair. That's okay. I like that, because I like her expressing her true feelings, and I like the communication that opens up between us. I feel closer to her in the same way as made to God. When I come to God, I say, God, I know you're still my God, and I know you still love me, but I don't understand why I'm going through this. It's a time for he and I to draw close, and he opens that, and it's an act of worship. Because I'm still honoring him, even though I'm upset at him. Okay? I mean, I'm upset at what's going on in my life. Honoring God, worshiping him through our emotions. Look what Job 7 says. I can't be quiet. I am angry. I am bitter. I have to speak. These are emotions that Job was feeling. Okay? Job is his own words. I can't be quiet, God. I'm angry. I've lost my children. I've lost this. Why did they die early? I lost my possessions. I lost my cattle. I lost everything. And now I'm afflicted with this sickness in my life. Can it get any worse, God? I've got to speak. I know you're God. But God, I got to tell you, this is how I feel. He was worshiping the Lord through his pain. He was worshiping the Lord in the best way he knows how. Because it wasn't just about coming and lifting his hands and saying, it's okay. It's all right. No, he had to come and he had to deal with the true feelings that he was feeling, the true emotions that he was feeling. It was an act of worship. It's a lifestyle of worship that we're learning as we are people who get hurt, that we learn to express what we're going through honestly to God. The second way we deal with it is we honor God in the middle of our pain. We honor God in the middle of our pain. In spite of my pain, in spite of what I'm going through, I honor God. What does that mean? That means I praise God in spite of our circumstance. That's how we get rid of our hurt. This is how we deal with our hurt. This is the way we get over it. We praise God. First of all, we admit it. First of all, God, life stinks. I don't like what's going on here. This hurts. I hate it. But even so, God, I'm going to begin to honor you. You see what's happening there. I'm honest before God. I'm telling him my true emotions. That's an act of trust. It's an act of worship. And then even though I'm upset, even though I'm crying, even though I'm angry, even though I'm hurt, even though I'm struggling with this, I'm still going to honor you. Job learned to do this in his life, and it's a way that we learn to heal. It's a way we learn to get over our hurts, and through worship. Worship will allow us to do that. Life is not always sunny with a honey who's got lots of money. It's not always bright, is it? We're going to go through times, and Matter of fact, I just don't know anybody who doesn't go through hard times on a regular basis. We all are going to go through things that we face on a regular basis. Well, Pastor, I thought when I was a Christian that these things would stop happening. No, they don't stop happening, but I get a better way to deal with it. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I learned to deal with it in a different way, and I have different tools of dealing with my pain. I have different ways of getting over my pain. And part of this right here is learning to express God in worship honestly. And the second part is to honor God in the middle of your pain. We see where Job did this in Job 1, 21 and verse 22. He said this. He goes, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I shall have nothing when I die. He's saying what? He said, I brought nothing into the world. I'll leave with nothing when I go. Last time I checked, I haven't seen any hearse pulling U-Hauls to the graveyard. That's what Job was saying, basically. I came into my mother's womb naked, and when I leave the world, I'm going to leave naked. It says, the Lord gave me everything I had, and they were his to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin by blaming God. I mean, you talk about a man who had lost it all, and he's saying, you know what? The Lord's the one who blessed me with it anyway, because he had the right perspective of ownership and management. That God was the owner. He was the manager. And he had this thing, he had perspective. You know what? God's the one who blessed me with my wealth. God's the one who blessed me with my children. God's the one who blessed me with the things I possess. And so if God chooses to allow them to be taken away from me, they were his to begin with, I'm going to continue to bless the Lord. Was he still angry? Yes, he was. Was he still have his head shaved? Yes, he did. Did he still tear his clothes? Yes, he did. But he still honored the Lord through his pain. He still learned to honor the Lord through his guilt and through his hurt and the things he was going with. And all this time, even though he had honest emotions, he also learned to say, but ultimately it all belongs to the Lord. He is in control of my life. And we got to learn what it means to praise God even when it seems like it doesn't seem possible. And Job did this. We see on this next slide here, pull it up. I want you to write some of these down if you have a pen. Write these down and study them this week. And you see where even though Job was going through a hard time in his life, even though he had lost it all, he still found something to praise the Lord about. This is what some of the things he praised the Lord about. We see he praised the Lord because he is a good and loving God. He praised the Lord because he is an all-powerful God. He praised the Lord because he knows every detail of my life. He praised the Lord because he's in control of my life. He praised the Lord because he has a plan for my life. He praised the Lord because he will protect me. I mean, we see all through this that Job had found a way of praising the Lord even though his circumstances were the worst possible. I mean, we couldn't have drew up any worse circumstances in his life, but yet we see Job was able to find something positive and honor the Lord for those things. God's in control of my life. He's all powerful. He's all loving. He's my redeemer. He's my savior. Hey, I'm still going to honor him, and I'm still going to praise him for those things. I'm going to praise him that he's still in control of my life. Job learned what it means to worship the Lord through his hurt, through his pain. We see the next thing here, number three. We've got to learn to ask God for strength and wisdom. Asking the Lord for strength and wisdom. First of all, I open up my life and tell God, honestly, God, this is what I'm going through. This is how I feel. Then after I do that, I learn to honor God. God, I still honor you even though I'm feeling these emotions. I'm still going to honor you. And now the third thing is what? We ask God, God, I need your strength and I need your wisdom. Job did this. He asked God for strength and for wisdom. Job had some friends, and he had three friends who came to him during this time of trouble. And these were pretty good friends, and they were pretty smart friends. They even gave some good advice at times. Sometimes they didn't give good advice, but there were some times also they gave some great advice. And it says at first these three friends came to Job, and they came to him, and they just began to talk to him. And when they got there, they didn't even say anything for the first little bit, for the first couple of days. They just sit around. We're just there for Job. That's kind of a side note here, but as an example, When you have a friend who's going through something in their life, when they lose somebody close to them through death, or they're going through something that's a tragedy, and maybe a spouse has committed adultery, or they've done something where somebody's done something really to harm them, they've gone through a divorce, or they're going through something that really hurts them, that sometimes as a friend, we have to come and have all the answers, okay? That good friend, sometimes just being there is enough, okay? That most of the time when we open our mouth, when we first get there, we don't know what to say, and we say dumb things because we're just trying to have something to say. You know, just trust in the Lord, and He will direct your path. Yeah, that's a good thing, but, you know, when I just found out someone, you know, has died, it's not always a good thing is to hear. Just be there. Let them know, hey, I love you. I'm supporting you with my presence. And then allow the Holy Spirit to give you words to say as time goes on, okay? Just a side note here. We see this is the kind of friends that Job had, and they gave him some good advice, and they also gave him some bad advice. There were some words that they said to him that I thought were very well. And let's look at one of these advice at Job 5:8. One of his friends said, if I were you, I would call upon God and bring my problem before Him. I mean, what good advice. What good advice. After a couple of days had passed and Job was settling down, one of his friends said, hey, Job, if I was you, I would just call upon God. He's basically all you can do is call upon God, asking Him for help, asking God for advice. That's good advice. Turn your life to God. Turn your life over to Him. Look to Him for your hurts to be healed. Look for Him to sustain you during this problem in your life. Why do we need wisdom and strength? Because they are two things you need most when you're going through hurts. I mean, when you're going through a problem in your life and you're hurt deeply and you're wounded, the thing you need most is wisdom and strength, because we don't think rationally when we're going through problems like that. When we're hurt, we don't think always the right way. And so we need to know what it means to have the wisdom from the Lord. Because in my own thing, when somebody hurts me, what do I want to do? There's two things I want to do. One is I want to get revenge, or I want to retreat. And both things are bad. Either I want to go hide my cocoon and not face the world, isolate myself, or I get very mad and angry and I want to take revenge. And both those things are not healthy things at all. Both those things are very bad things. And so I've got to get the wisdom and strength from the Lord. I need His strength to make it another day. I need His strength to make another hour. How do Christians cope when they go through tragedy in their life? It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only through His Spirit that allows you. And I don't know how many times people will say to us, myself, when we went through something hard in our life, where it looked like we couldn't go on, they say, how do you do it? And I would say, it's only through the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives me strength. Yeah, I was still hurting. Yes, we were still grieving. Yes, we were going through things we didn't like in our life, but I walked on because God had given me strength, and He gave me wisdom because I had asked for Him how to deal with the situation we're going through. Job 12:13, it says this, true wisdom and real power belong to God. From Him we learn how to live and also what to live for. Because see, when I'm going through a hurt, I don't want to live. I want to give it all up. I want to abandon everything I know to do is right. I want to abandon everything I know to do is sane. I want to abandon everything I know I should be working on. I want to abandon it all when I've been hurt. I want to retaliate. My natural instinct is to retaliate and either hurt them back or to leave the situation and not deal with the problem. And so when I come to the Lord, look what it says. Real power belongs to God. From Him I learn how to live. What am I saying? From Him I learn how to cope with the situation. From Him I learn how to live day by day. And also I learn what is most important in my life to live for. He puts a priority straight in my life. He changes my vision. He changes my purpose. You see, when I come to Him for strength and wisdom, He will give it to me. He gives me direction. It's an act of worship that I express Him honestly what I'm going through, how I'm feeling. I honor God through that pain. And I say, God, I need Your wisdom. God, I need Your strength to make it through. And as I do that, I'm acting out worship. Do you realize this, that doctors have discovered that worship actually relaxes us? It's a medical thing that's been proven. They have tested people before they go into a house of worship like this, and they test them when they come out, and the heart rate actually slows down during worship. Do you realize that? There's something about worship that brings the peace of God in your life. That's why when you're going through your hurts and you're going through your wounds, that you need worship more than any time in your life, because it will help sustain you. It will help give you peace. It will help your heart begin to slow down. It will give you a peace that, you know what, I can cope with this problem. Through God's help, I'm going to make it through. I don't see what it looks like next week, but I know through God's help, I can face walking out that door today. Through God's help, I can face putting my head down the pillow. Through God's help, I can get up and go to work tomorrow. Through God's help and peace, and I'm learning to worship the Lord, and he's learning to what? I'm learning to relax in him. I'm learning to have my peace in him. Worship, it's worshiping God through our hurt. God has designed it that way. This little side note here, I've had people ask me sometimes for advice, and they have a hard time sleeping. And I've given this advice, and I've never seen it not work. If you have a hard time sleeping at night because of things that are going on, problems especially, I'm not talking about, you know, insomnia things. I'm going to talk about those who maybe you're going through a lot of things in your mind and you're going through stressful times and have a hard time relaxing, sleeping. I challenge you, just put on a worship CD. Just put on a worship CD as you go to bed. Turn it down where you can hear it lightly. And so see if you don't sleep better that night. I've never seen it not work with those who are going through that, those things in their life. Worship helps you relax. It helps you concentrate on who God is and what he does in your life. Number four, as we get ready to close, join with others for support. Join with others for support. God doesn't want you to worship alone. God doesn't want you to do it by yourself. God doesn't want you to handle your pain by yourself. But he's designed you and I to help each other. And listen, if you never express what you're going through to God, and if you never have close friends that you can trust, that you can express the pain you're going through, the emotions you're going through, somebody you can open up with, you are repressing that. You are pushing those feelings down. Everybody needs somebody. Not only to God, but they need personal friends. They can say, hey, I need you to pray with me. This is what I'm going through. I can honestly talk about things I'm going through. And that's why at Destiny Church, we believe it's so important to be involved in a small group where you develop a close-knit group of friends who pray with you, who support you, that you can come in openly and say, you know what? I need prayer. I'm facing this problem in my life. I need someone to support me. God has never designed for us to handle it on our own. He's designed for us to go to him and to have a network of people who are close to us, helping us cope with the things we go through in our life. But our human nature, as we talked about earlier, our human nature is what? It's to withdraw. When we get hurt, I want to isolate myself from the group. Why is that? Because Satan wants you to do that. Because if he gets you isolated, he's got you on your way to a spiritual and physical death. But if you can get yourself in a group of people who can support you and say, I understand what you're going through. I will pray with you. I accept you for what you've done. I accept you for what you're going through. We'll pray with you. We'll support you. Let's do lunch tomorrow. Let's do this. Let's pray together. Listen, you begin to get healthy because you're expressing it. You become accountable for how you feel. And people are encouraging you. So the Holy Spirit's encouraging you vertically. And horizontally, you're getting support you need through other Christian believers and Christian friends. So we need each other. We join to the group. Don't allow yourself, when you get hurt, to isolate yourself from the worship time. You be here. You need to be here in corporate worship when you're hurt more than any other time. You need to find a group of friends. And how do you do that? You got to do it now. Do you wait until you're hurt to join a small group? No, you do it now because you got to be there for somebody else who needs you. Because there's going to come a time in your life when you need them. And when you're already there, you've established a relationship and trust and support. When it comes your time, and it will come your time more than once, and you're going to need somebody to talk to, they're going to be there with you to help you because you developed that, and you got to do it now. And the last thing today, is you got to learn to keep going on and going on. Keep going on. How many know persistence is a physical prayer? That when I decide in my heart, God, I'm not going to allow this hurt to stop me from living the life the way God's asked me to live it. I may be hurting, but when I keep going on, when I was a kid, the old saying used to say, keep on, keep on. You know, keep on, keep on. That basically meant what? I mean, yeah, we're going through some tough times, but I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Keep on going. Keep on pursuing. Keep on going. Job did this. Job 2:9 and verse 10 says this. Look what it says. It says, Job's wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. And Job replied, you talk like a godless woman. Should we accept only the good things from the hand of God and never the bad things? In all this, Job said nothing wrong. Now, this is a big thing. And I find this scripture kind of humorous here because I think, God, you know, what a sense of humor he has. Takes away all of his children, takes away all his possessions, takes away everything he has that's valuable in his life, and he leaves a nagging wife. I just can't understand that. This is what's happening. She's nagging at him. Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Job, ha ha, da, da, da. I mean, what a support, ladies. This is not a good example of a Christian wife, okay? She's nagging at him. But it says, even though Job went through this, he still did what? He did not sin and curse God. He still trusted in the Lord. And I think this next scripture here, right immediately following this, is probably one of the biggest testaments of faith, one of the strongest testimonies we see throughout the whole Bible, one of the strongest responses of faith we see. In this next verse, it says this. This is Job talking to God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Boy, that's a powerful verse. But it shows the attitude that he has. It shows the attitude that he had. Though God, you slay me, even though I will more trust you. I will trust you even though, God, I've lost it all. God, even though it's all been stripped from me. God, even so, I will trust you. You talk about learning to worship God through your hurts. Job went through it all. He was, I believe, the greatest example of somebody who learned to worship God through his hurts. And as the musicians come this morning, I believe we can learn so much about worship through Job's life. Because we're all going to go through hurts in our lives. We're all going to go through things in our life. And we are going through them constantly. And because I become a Christian does not mean that I don't go through hurts in my life. What's it mean? It means that the power of his Holy Spirit is going to help me cope with those pains. He's going to give me wisdom on how to deal with those pains. He's going to give me what? He's going to give me strength to get up the next day and to face it. Instead of having a nervous breakdown, I get up and I cope the next day. Oh, I'm still hurting, but he's given me patience. He's given me wisdom on how to forgive. He's given me the strength to work on forgiving. He's given me the strength to work on taking another step and then walking another day and then I'm walking another month and then it comes another year and wow, I made it through his help, through the mercy of God. And all along, I didn't forget to worship God along the way. See, there's a healthy way of healing. There's a healthy way of worshiping. What a greater testimony. How many know it's easy to worship the Lord when everything's pie in the sky? It's easy, isn't it? We're quick to lift our hands and God does something great for us and things are going well. Boy, God, I got the raise. God, I'm doing well. My job, my kids are serving you. And all these things are going to happen. And you're like, boy, this is getting better than this. It's easy. It's easy to serve God then. It's easy to worship the Lord then. But the real test of our worship will come when we go through those trials in our life. When we go through deep hurts and we go through them. And we're going to continue to go through them. But the real test of worship comes. Will I serve God even though? Will I live for him even though? Will I continue to say yes to his call in my life even though? Will I stay close to doing ministry the rest of my life? Listen, we've all gone through things. If I had allowed the hurts of my life to distract me, I'd be out today not pastoring. I'd be in a cocoon somewhere, sitting at home, saying, boy, I can't believe this happened to me. But no, when I learn to worship God through my pain, when I learn to worship God through my hurt, God blesses in spite of. And we're learning to do that as a lifestyle of worship. What a great testimony to our faith. What a great testimony is today if you're hurting, that in spite of that, you're learning to worship. I say it's probably the greatest time of growth in your life when it comes to spiritual renewal, when it comes to worship, learning to worship God, is when you worship through your pain, you worship through your hurt. I'm going to do something today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. If you're here today, matter of fact, I just want to ask you this question. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm hurting. I don't want to tell you what's going on. You don't need to tell me what's going on, but I'm just hurting in my life. I'm going through a pain in my life, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's a spiritual thing, financial, relationship, whatever it is today. say, Pastor, I'm just hurting. Can you just raise your hand and say, it's me? I'm hurting. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, that's me. Several hands. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, that's just me. I'm hurting. First of all, before we go any further, I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person who raised their hand just now, God, and said they were hurting. God, it's through these times of hurt and disappointment that, God, we learn to worship you. And God, I pray to Father right now that we are able to, first of all, just admit to God that we're hurting. Just admit we're having these problems. And Father, and through it, may we learn to honor you in spite of our pain, in spite of our hurt. God, we're learning to honor you. And Father, I pray for every person who raised their hand today. God, I just pray, God, as they reach out their hand to you in faith today and say, God, I'm hurting. I pray right now that, God, your word says that you would give us the Holy Spirit, which would give us peace beyond all understanding. And I pray to Father right now that, God, the power of your Holy Spirit would bring peace to their life. You would bring peace to their trouble. You bring peace to their hurt. And God, they would feel that, Father, you are putting your hands, your wounded hands, your nail-scarred hands. Father, you're putting them over their heart today. You're putting them over their spirit today. You're putting them over their mind today. And God, you are touching them where they're sitting today. And God, you are making them whole in the name of Jesus. And God, you are touching and doing in them what no man could ever do. And God, as they give their heart fully to you, as they give their pain and trust you, even though they're hurting, and God, may you grow them. And God, may you touch them, God, where they are at today in the name of Jesus. God, begin to touch the grieving parent. Begin to touch the grieving spouse. God, begin to touch those, God, who are hurting in pain over loss, who had deep words and things have been done to them to hurt them, God, from close friends. God, may your hand touch them today as they learn to worship you in spite of their pain. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. And across this building, can we just raise our hands of faith? Father, right now, we just lift our hands of faith to you. And Father, we thank you that God, no matter what we go through in our life, that God, you are there. No matter what we go through in our life, God, you are there. And God, you are directing us. And you are leading us. And God, you are healing us. And Father, as we learn to worship you in spite of our circumstances, in spite of our financial difficulty, in spite of our health, in spite of our fear, in spite of our anger, in spite of our hurt, that God, we are honoring you and saying, God, even so, even though you slay me, God, I will trust in the name of the Lord. That God, there's a maturity that comes with that. God, there's a growth that comes with that. And Father, as we do that in faith, in return, God, as we honor you, Lord, in faith, God, you are bringing healing to our body, spiritually, physically, mentally. God, you're helping us to work through pain. You help us to lay down, God, hurts in our life, words people have said, things people have done in church, out of church, in our family, out of our family. God, things that have happened. Father, I pray right now, God, as we lift our hands in faith, God, may those bonds be loosened in the name of Jesus Christ. May those bonds be loosened in Jesus' name. May we be set free, God, to express to you everything we're going through and to receive healing through your name and through our worship. God, we're going to worship you for our peace. We're going to worship you, God, for our strength. And we're going to say, God, we need your strength and we need you today. I need you. Come on, say that. Come on, tell them.
More than life itself, there's no one else. Oh Lord, I need you.
Yes, we need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord. Of all I am, you are. There's no one else, oh Lord, I need but you.
Today, as you leave today, you walk in the peace of the Holy Spirit today. Learn to worship God even when it's hard. Learn to worship God even when we're hurt. Take Job's example. Pray that prayer. God, help me to worship you like Job worshiped you. God bless you with you today. God bless you. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. You guys have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night.
The more I know you, I want to show you, Lord, I need you. I love you, Lord.